Recorded Books presents Flowers for Algernon by Daniel Keyes, narrated by Jeff Woodman.
Progress Report 1, March 3. Dr. Strauss says I should write down what I think and remember and everything that happens to me from now on. I don't know why, but he says it's important, so they'll see if they can use me. I hope they use me, because Miss Kinnean says maybe they can make me smart. I want to be smart. My name is Charlie Gordon. I work in Donner's Bakery, where Mr. Donner gives me $11 a week and bread or cake if I want. I'm 32 years old, and next month is my birthday. I told Dr. Strauss and Professor Niemer I can't write good, but he says it don't matter. He says I should write just like I talk, and like I write compositions in Miss Kinnean's class at the Beekman College Center for Retarded Adults, where I go to learn 3 times a week on my time off. Dr. Strauss says to write a lot, everything I think and everything that happens to me, but I can't think anymore because I have nothing to write, so I will close for today. Yours truly, Charlie Gordon. Progress Report 2, March 4. I had a test today. I think I failed it, and I think maybe now they won't use me. What happened is, I went to Professor Niemer's office on my lunchtime, like they said, and his secretary took me to a place that said Psych Department on the door, with a long hall and a lot of little rooms with only a desk and chairs. And a nice man was in one of the rooms, and he had some white cards with ink spilled all over them. He said, "Sit down, Charlie, and make yourself comfortable and relax." He had a white coat like a doctor, but I don't think he was no doctor, because he didn't tell me to open my mouth and say, "Ah." All he had was those white cards. His name is Bert. I forgot his last name, because I don't remember so good. I didn't know what he was going to do, and I was holding on tight to the chair, like sometimes when I go to a dentist. Only, Bert ain't no dentist neither, but he kept telling me to relax, and that gets me scared, because it always means it's going to hurt. So Bert said, "Charlie, what do you see on this card?" I saw the spilled ink, and I was very scared, even though I got my rabbit's foot in my pocket, because when I was a kid, I always failed tests in school, and I spilled ink, too. I told Bert I saw ink spilled on a white card. Bert said, "Yes," and he smiled, and that made me feel good. He kept turning all the cards, and I told him, "Somebody spilled ink on all of them, red and black." I thought, that was an easy test. But when I got up to go, Bert stopped me and said, "Now sit down, Charlie. We're not through yet. There's more we gotta do with these cards." I didn't understand about it, but I remember Dr. Strauss said do anything the tester told me, even if it don't make no sense, because that's testing. I don't remember so good what Bert said, but I remember he wanted me to say what was in the ink. I didn't see nothing in the ink, but Bert said there was pictures there. I couldn't see no pictures. I really tried to see. I holded the card up close and then far away. Then I said, if I had my eyeglasses, I could probably see better. I usually only wear my eyeglasses in the movies or to watch TV, but I said, maybe they will help me see the pictures in the ink. I put them on and I said, now, let me see the card again. I bet I find it now. I tried hard, but I still couldn't find the pictures. I only saw the ink. I told Bert, maybe I need new glasses. He wrote something down on a paper and I got scared of failing the test. So I told him it was a very nice picture of ink with pretty points all around the edges. But he shaked his head, so that wasn't it neither. I asked him if other people saw things in the ink, and he said, yes, they imagine pictures in the ink blot. He told me the ink on the card was called ink blot. Bert is very nice, and he talks slow, like Miss Kinnean does in her class, where I go to learn reading for slow adults. He explained me it was a raw shock test. He said, people see things in the ink. I said, show me where. He didn't show me. He just kept saying, think. Imagine there's something on the card. I told him, I imagine an ink blot. He shaked his head, so that wasn't right either. He said, what does it remind you of? Pretend it's something. I closed my eyes for a long time to pretend, and then I said, I pretend a bottle of ink spilled all over a white card. And that's when the point on his pencil broke, and then we got up and went out. I don't think I passed the raw shock test. Third progress report. March 5. Dr. Strauss and Professor Niemer say it don't matter about the ink on the cards. I told them I didn't spill the ink on them, and I couldn't see anything in the ink. They said maybe they'll still use me. I told Dr. Strauss that Miss Kinnean never gave me tests like that, only writing and reading. He said Miss Kinnean told him I was her bestest pupil in the Beekman School for Retarded Adults, and I tried the hardest because I really wanted to learn. I wanted it more even than people who are smarter even than me. Dr. Strauss asked me, how come you went to the Beekman School all by yourself, Charlie? How did you find out about it? I said, I don't remember. Professor Niemer said, but why did you want to learn to read and spell in the first place? I told him, because all my life I wanted to be smart and not dumb, and my mom always told me to try and learn, just like Miss Kinnean tells me. But it's very hard to be smart, and even when I learn something in Miss Kinnean's class at the school, I forget a lot. Dr. Strauss wrote some things on a piece of paper, and Professor Niemer talked to me very serious. He said, you know, Charlie, we're not sure how this experiment will work on people, because we only tried it up to now on animals. I said, that's what Miss Kinnean told me, but I don't even care if it hurts or anything, because I'm strong, and I'll work hard. I want to get smart if they'll let me. They said they got to get permission from my family, but my Uncle Herman, who used to take care of me, is dead, and I don't remember about my family. I didn't see my mother or father or my little sister Norma for a long, long, long time. Maybe they're dead, too. Dr. Strauss asked me where they used to live. I think in Brooklyn. He said they'll see if maybe they can find them. I hope I don't have to write too much of these progress reports, because it takes a long time, and I get to sleep very late, and I'm tired at work in the morning. Gimpy hollered at me because I dropped a tray full of rolls I was carrying over to the oven. They got dirty, and he had to wipe them off before he put them in to bake. Gimpy hollers at me all the time when I do something wrong, but he really likes me because he's my friend. Boy, if I get smart, won't he be surprised? Progress Report 4. March 6. I had more crazy tests today in case they use me. That same place, but a different little testing room. The nice lady who gave it to me told me the name, and I asked her, how do you spell it so I can put it down right in my progress report? Thematic apperceptin test. I don't know the first two words, but I know what test means. You gotta pass it, or you get bad marks. This test looked easy because I could see the pictures. Only this time, she didn't want me to tell what I saw in the pictures. That mixed me up. I told her, yesterday Bert said I should tell what I saw in the ink. She said that don't make a difference because this test is something else. Now you got to make up stories about the people in the pictures. I said, how can I tell stories about people I don't know? She said, make believe. But I told her, that's lies. I never tell lies anymore, because when I was a kid, I made lies and I always got hit. I got a picture in my wallet of me and Norma with Uncle Herman, who got me the job to be janitor at Donner's Bakery before he died. I said, I could make stories about them, because I lived with Uncle Herman a long time, but the lady didn't want to hear about them. She said, this test and the other one, the raw shock, was forgetting personality. I laughed. I told her, how can you get that thing from cards that somebody spilled ink on and photos of people you don't even know? She looked angry and took the pictures away. I don't care. I guess I failed that test, too. Then I drawed some pictures for her, but I don't draw so good. Later, the other tester, Bert, in the white coat, came back. His name is Bert Selden, and he took me to a different place on the same fourth floor in the Beekman University that said Psychology Laboratory on the door. Bert said psychology means minds, and laboratory means a place where they make experiments. I thought he meant, like, where they made the chewing gum, but now I think it's puzzles and games, because that's what we did. I couldn't work the puzzles so good, because it was all broke, and the pieces couldn't fit in the holes. One game was a paper, with lines in all directions and lots of boxes. On one side it said start, and on the other end it said finish. He told me that game was amazed, and I should take the pencil and go from where it said start to where it said finish without crossing over any of the lines. I didn't understand the amazed, and we used up a lot of papers. Then Bert said, look, I'll show you something. Let's go to the experimental lab. Maybe you'll get the idea. We went up to the fifth floor, to another room with lots of cages and animals. They had monkeys and some mouses. It had a funny smell, like old garbage. And there was other people in white coats, playing with the animals. So I thought it was like a pet store, but there wasn't no customers. Bert took a white mouse out of the cage and showed him to me. Bert said, that's Algernon, and he can do this amazed very good. I told him, you show me how he does that. Well, do you know, he put Algernon in a box, like a big table, with a lot of twists and turns, like all kinds of walls, and a start and a finish like the paper had. Only there was a screen over the big table. And Bert took out his clock and lifted up a sliding door and said, let's go, Algernon. And the mouse sniffed two or three times and started to run. First, he ran down one long row, and then, when he saw he couldn't go no more, he came back where he started from, and he just stood there a minute, wiggling his whiskers. Then he went off in the other direction and started to run again. It was just like he was doing the same thing Bert wanted me to do with the lines on the paper. I was laughing, because I thought it was going to be a hard thing for a mouse to do. But then Algernon kept going all the way through that thing, all the right ways, till he came out where it said finish, and he made a squeak. Bert says that means he was happy because he did the thing right. Boy, I said, that's a smart mouse. Bert said, would you like to race against Algernon? I said, sure. And he said he had a different kind of a maze made of wood with rows scratched in it and an electric stick like a pencil. And he could fix up Algernon's maze to be the same, like that one, so we could both be doing the same kind. He moved all the boards around on Algernon's table, because they come apart, and he could put them together in different ways. And then he put the screen back on top, so Algernon wouldn't jump over any rows to get to the finish. Then he gave me the electric stick and showed me how to put it in between the rows, and I'm not supposed to lift it off the board, just follow the little scratches until the pencil can't move anymore, or I get a little shock. He took out his clock, and he was trying to hide it, so I tried not to look at him, and that made me very nervous. When he said, "Go," I tried to go, but I didn't know where to go. I didn't know the way to take. Then I heard Algernon squeaking from the box on the table, and his feet scratching like he was running already. I started to go, but I went in the wrong way and got stuck, and a little shock in my fingers, so I went back to the start. But every time I went a different way, I got stuck, and a shock. It didn't hurt or anything, just made me jump a little, and Bert said it was to show me I did the wrong thing. I was halfway on the board when I heard Algernon squeak like he was happy again, and that means he won the race. And the other 10 times we did it over, Algernon won every time, because I couldn't find the right rows to get to where it says finish. I didn't feel bad, because I watched Algernon, and I learned how to finish the amaze, even if it takes me a long time. I didn't know mice were so smart. Progress Report 5, March 6. They found my sister Norma, who lives with my mother in Brooklyn, and she gave permission for the operation. So they're going to use me. I'm so excited I can hardly write it down. But then Professor Niemer and Dr. Strauss had an argument about it first. I was sitting in Professor Niemer's office when Dr. Strauss and Bert Selden came in. Professor Niemer was worried about using me, but Dr. Strauss told him I looked like the best one they tested so far. Bert told him Miss Kinnean recommended me the best from all the people who she was teaching at the Center for Retarded Adults, where I go. Dr. Strauss said I had something that was very good. He said I had a good motivation. I never even knowed I had that. I felt good when he said not everybody with an IQ of 68 had that thing like I had it. I don't know what it is or where I got it, but he said Algernon had it too. Algernon's motivation is the cheese they put in his box. But it can't be only that, because I didn't have no cheese this week. Professor Niemer was worried about my IQ getting too high from mine that was too low, and I would get sick from it. And Dr. Strauss told Professor Niemer something I didn't understand, so while they was talking, I wrote down some of the words in my notebook for keeping my progress reports. He said, "Harold," that's Professor Niemer's first name, "I know Charlie is not what you had in mind as the first of your new breed of intellect..." Couldn't get the word, "Superman." "But most people of his low ment are host and uncoop. They're usually dull and apathetic and hard to reach. Charlie has a good nature, and he's interested and eager to please." Then Professor Niemer said, "Remember, he will be the first human being ever to have his intelligence increased by surgery." Dr. Strauss said, "That's exactly what I meant. Where will we find another retarded adult with this tremendous motivation to learn? Look how well he has learned to read and write for his low mental age. A tremendous... achieve..." I didn't get all the words, and they were talking too fast, but it sounded like Dr. Strauss and Bert was on my side, and Professor Niemer wasn't. Bert kept saying, "Alice Kinnean feels he has an overwhelmed desire to learn. He actually begged to be used," and that's true, because I wanted to be smart. Dr. Strauss got up and walked around and said, "I say we use Charlie." And Bert nodded. Professor Niemer scratched his head and rubbed his nose with his thumb and said, "Maybe you're right. We will use Charlie. But we've got to make him understand that a lot of things can go wrong with the experiment. When he said that, I got so happy and excited, I jumped up and shaked his hand for being so good to me. I think he got scared when I did that. He said, "Charlie, we worked on this for a long time, but only on animals like Algernon. We are sure there's no physical danger for you, but there are other things we can't tell until we try it. I want you to understand this might fail, and then nothing would happen at all. Or it might even succeed temporary and leave you worse off than you are now. Do you understand what that means? If that happens, we will have to send you back to the Warren State home to live." I said I didn't care because I ain't afraid of nothing. I'm very strong and I always do good, and beside, I got my lucky rabbit's foot and I never break a mirror in my life. I dropped some dishes once, but that don't count for bad luck. Then Dr. Strauss said, "Charlie, even if this fails, you're making a great contribution to science. This experiment has been successful on lots of animals, but it's never been tried on a human being. You will be the first." I told him, "Thanks, Doc. You won't be sorry for giving me my second chance, like Miss Kinnean says." And I mean it, like I told them. After the operation, I'm gonna try to be smart. I'm gonna try awful hard. Progress Report 6th, March 8. I'm scared. Lots of people who work at the college and the people at the medical school came to wish me luck. Bert, the tester, brought me some flowers. He said they were from the people at the psych department. He wished me luck. I hope I have luck. I got my rabbit's foot and my lucky penny and my horseshoe. Dr. Strauss said, "Don't be so superstitious, Charlie. This is science." I don't know what science is, but they all keep saying it, so maybe it's something that helps you have good luck. Anyway, I'm keeping my rabbit's foot in one hand and my lucky penny in the other hand with the hole in it. The penny, I mean. I wish I could take the horseshoe with me, too, but it's heavy, so I'll just leave it in my jacket. Joe Karp from the bakery brought me a chocolate cake from Mr. Donner and the folks at the bakery, and they hope I get better soon. At the bakery, they think I'm sick, because that's what Professor Niemer said I should tell them, and nothing about an operation for getting smart. That's a secret until after, in case it don't work or something goes wrong. Then Miss Kinnean came to see me, and she brought me some magazines to read, and she looked kind of nervous and scared. She fixed up the flowers on my table and put everything nice and neat, not messed up like I made it. And she fixed the pillow under my head. She likes me a lot, because I try very hard to learn everything, not like some of the people at the adult center who don't really care. She wants me to get smart, I know. Then Professor Niemer said I can't have any more visitors because I got a rest. I asked Professor Niemer if I could beat Algernon in the race after the operation, and he said maybe. If the operation works good, I'll show that mouse I can be as smart as he is, even smarter. Then I'll be able to read better and spell the words good and know lots of things and be like other people. Boy, that would surprise everyone. If the operation works and I get smart, maybe I'll be able to find my mom and dad and sister and show them. Boy, would they be surprised to see me smart, just like them and my sister. Professor Niemer says if it works good and it's permanent, they will make other people like me smart also. Maybe people all over the world. And, he said, that means I'm doing something great for science. And I'll be famous, and my name will go down in the books. I don't care so much about being famous. I just want to be smart like other people, so I can have lots of friends who like me. They didn't give me anything to eat today. I don't know what eating got to do with getting smart, and I'm hungry. Professor Niemer took away my chocolate cake. That Professor Niemer is a grouch. Dr. Strauss says I can have it back after the operation. You can't eat before an operation. Not even cheese. Progress Report 7, March 11. The operation didn't hurt. Dr. Strauss did it while I was sleeping. I don't know how, because I didn't see, but there was bandages on my eyes and my head for 3 days, so I couldn't make no progress report till today. The skinny nurse who watched me writing says I spelled progress wrong, and she told me how to spell it, and report, too, and march. I gotta remember that. I have a very bad memory for spelling. Anyway, they took off the bandages from my eyes today, so I can make a progress report now. But there is still some bandages on my head. I was scared when they came in and told me it was time to go for the operation. They made me get out of the bed and on another bed that has wheels on it, and they rolled me out of the room and down the hall to the door that says surgery. Boy, was I surprised that it was a big room with green walls and lots of doctors sitting around up high all around the room watching the operation. I didn't know it was going to be like a show. A man came up to the table all in white and with a white cloth on his face, like in TV shows, and rubber gloves, and he said, "Relax, Charlie. It's me, Dr. Strauss." I said, "Hi, Doc. I'm scared." He said, "There's nothing to be scared about, Charlie," he said. "You'll just go to sleep." I said, "That's what I'm scared about." He patted my head, and then two other men wearing white masks too came and strapped my arms and legs down so I couldn't move them. And that made me very scared, and my stomach felt tight, like I was going to make all over, but I didn't, only wet a little. And I was going to cry, but they put a rubber thing on my face for me to breathe in, and it smelled funny. All the time I heard Dr. Strauss talking out loud about the operation, telling everybody what he was going to do. But I didn't understand anything about it, and I was thinking, maybe after the operation I'll be smart and I'll understand all the things he's talking about. So I breathed deep, and then I guess I was very tired because I went to sleep. When I waked up, I was back in my bed, and it was very dark. I couldn't see nothing, but I heard some talking. It was the nurse and Bert, and I said, "What's the matter? Why don't you put on the lights, and when are they going to operate?" And they laughed, and Bert said, "Charlie, it's all over, and it's dark because you got bandages over your eyes." It's a funny thing. They did it while I was sleeping. Bert comes in to see me every day to write down all the things, like my temperature and my blood pressure and the other things about me. He says it's on account of the scientific method. They gotta keep records about what happens so they can do it again when they want to. Not to me, but to the other people like me who ain't smart. That's why I got to do these progress reports. Bert says it's part of the experiment, and they will make photostats of the reports to study them, so they'll know what is going on in my mind. I don't see how they will know what is going on in my mind by looking at these reports. I read them over and over a lot of times to see what I wrote, and I don't know what's going on in my mind, so how are they going to? But anyway, that's science, and I gotta try to be smart like other people. Then, when I am smart, they'll talk to me, and I can sit with them and listen, like Joe Karp and Frank and Gimpy do when they talk and have a discussion about important things. While they're working, they start talking about things, like about God, or about the trouble with all the money the president is spending, or about the Republicans and Democrats, and they get all excited like they're going to have a fight, so Mr. Donner got to come in and tell them to get back to baking, or they'll all get canned, union or no union. I want to talk about things like that. If you're smart, You can have lots of friends to talk to, and you never get lonely by yourself all the time. Professor Niemer says it's okay to tell about all the things that happened to me in the progress reports, but he says I should write more about what I feel and what I think and remember about the past. I told him, I don't know how to think or remember. And he said, just try. All the time the bandages were on my eyes, I tried to think and remember, but nothing happened. I don't know what to think or remember about. Maybe if I ask him, he'll tell me how I can think now that I'm supposed to get smart. What do smart people think about or remember? Fancy things, I bet. I wish I knew some fancy things already. March 12. I don't have to write progress report on top every day, just when I start a new batch, after Professor Niemer takes the old ones away. I just have to put the date on top. That saves time. It's a good idea. I can sit up in bed and look out the window at the grass and trees outside. The skinny nurse's name is Hilda, and she's very good to me. She brings me things to eat, and she fixes my bed, and she says I was a very brave man to let them do things to my head. She says she would never let them do things to her brains for all the tea in China. I told her it wasn't for tea in China, it was to make me smart. And she said, maybe they got no right to make me smart, because if God wanted me to be smart, he would have made me born that way. And what about Adam and Eve, and the sin with the tree of knowledge, and eating the apple, and the fall, and maybe Professor Niemer and Dr. Strauss was tampering with things they got no right to tamper with? She's very skinny, and when she talks, her face gets all red. She says maybe I better pray to God to ask him to forgive what they done to me. I didn't eat no apples, or do nothing sinful. And now I'm scared. Maybe I shouldn't have let them operate on my brains like she said, if it's against God. I don't want to make God angry. March 13. They changed my nurse today. This one is pretty. Her name is Lucille. She showed me how to spell it from my progress report, and she got yellow hair and blue eyes. I asked her, where was Hilda? And she said Hilda wasn't working in that part of the hospital no more. Only in the maternity ward by the babies, where it don't matter if she talks too much. When I asked her about what was maternity, she said it's about having babies. But when I asked her how they have them, she got red in the face, just the same like Hilda, and she said she got to take somebody's temperature. Nobody ever tells me about the babies. Maybe if this thing works and I get smart, I'll find out. Miss Kinnean came to see me today, and she said, Charlie, you look wonderful. I told her, I feel fine, but I don't feel smart yet. I thought that when the operation was over and they took the bandages off my eyes, I'd be smart and know a lot of things so I could read and talk about important things like everybody else. She said, that's not the way it works, Charlie. It comes slowly, and you have to work very hard to get smart. I didn't know that. If I got to work hard anyway, what did I have to have the operation for? She said she wasn't sure, but the operation was to make it so that when I did work hard to get smart, it would stick with me, and not be like it was before when it didn't stick so good. Well, I told her that made me kind of feel bad, because I thought I was going to be smart right away, and I could go back to show the guys at the bakery how smart I am, and talk with them about things, and maybe even get to be an assistant baker. Then I was going to try and find my mom and dad. They'd be surprised to see how smart I got, because my mom always wanted me to be smart too. Maybe they wouldn't send me away no more if they see how smart I am. I told Miss Kinnean I would try hard to be smart, as hard as I can. She patted my hand and said, I know you will. I have faith in you, Charlie. Progress Report 8. March 15. I'm out of the hospital, but not back at work yet. Nothing is happening. I had lots of tests and different kinds of races with Algernon. I hate that mouse. He always beats me. Professor Niemer says I gotta play those games and I gotta take those tests over and over again. Those mazes are stupid, and those pictures are stupid too. I like to draw the pictures of a man and woman, but I won't make up lies about people. And I can't do the puzzles good. I get headaches from trying to think and remember so much. Dr. Strauss promised he was going to help me, but he don't. He don't tell me what to think or when I'll get smart. He just makes me lay down on a couch and talk. Miss Kinnean comes to see me at the college, too. I told her nothing was happening. When am I going to get smart? She said, "You got to be patient, Charlie. These things take time. It will happen so slowly you won't know it's happening." She said Bert told her I was coming along fine. I still think those races and those tests are stupid, and I think writing these progress reports are stupid, too. March 16. I ate lunch with Bert at the college restaurant. They get all kinds of good food, and I don't have to pay for it, neither. I like to sit and watch the college boys and girls. They fool around sometimes, but mostly they talk about all kinds of things, just like the bakers do at Donner's Bakery. Bert says it's about art and politics and religion. I don't know what those things are about, but I know religion is God. Mom used to tell me all about him and the things he'd done to make the world. She said I should always love God and pray to him. I don't remember how to pray to him, but I think Mom used to make me pray to him a lot when I was a kid, that he should make me get better and not be sick. I don't remember how I was sick. I think it was about me not being smart. Anyway, Bert says if the experiment works, I'll be able to understand all those things the students are talking about. And I said, "Do you think I'll be smart like them?" And he laughed and said, "Those kids aren't so smart. You'll pass them as if they're standing still." He introduced me to a lot of the students, and some of them look at me funny, like I don't belong in a college. I almost forgot and started to tell them I was going to be very smart soon, like them, but Bert interrupted, and he told them I was cleaning the psych department lab. Later, he explained to me there mustn't be any publicity. That means it's a secret. I don't really understand why I gotta keep it a secret. Bert says it's in case there's a failure. Professor Niemer don't want everybody to laugh, especially the people from the Wellberg Foundation, who gave him the money for the project. I said, I don't care if people laugh at me. Lots of people laugh at me, and they're my friends, and we have fun. Bert put his arm on my shoulder and said, it's not you Niemer's worried about. He don't want people to laugh at him. I didn't think people would laugh at Professor Niemer, because he's a scientist in a college. But Bert said, no scientist is a great man to his colleagues and his graduate students. Bert is a graduate student, and he is a major in psychology, like the name on the door to the lab. I didn't know they had majors in college. I thought it was only in the army. Anyway, I hope I get smart soon, because I want to learn everything there is in the world, like the college boys know, all about art and politics and God. March 17. When I waked up this morning, right away, I thought I was going to be smart. But I'm not. Every morning I think I'm going to be smart, but nothing happens. Maybe the experiment didn't work. Maybe I won't get smart, and I'll have to go live at the Warren home. I hate the tests, and I hate the amazeds, and I hate Algernon. I never knew before that I was dumber than a mouse. I don't feel like writing any more progress reports. I forget things, and even when I write them in my notebook, sometimes I can't read my own writing, and it's very hard. Miss Kinnean says, have patience. But I feel sick and tired. And I get headaches all the time. I want to go back to work in the bakery and not write progress reports anymore. March 20. I'm going back to work at the bakery. Dr. Strauss told Professor Niemer it was better I should go back to work, but I still can't tell anyone what the operation was for, and I have to come to the lab for 2 hours every night after work for my tests and keep writing these dumb reports. They're going to pay me every week, like for a part-time job, because that was part of the arrangement when they got the money from the Wellberg Foundation. I still don't know what that Wellberg thing is. Miss Kinnean explained me, but I still don't get it. So if I didn't get smart, why are they paying me to write these dumb things? If they're going to pay me, I'll do it. But it's very hard to write. I'm glad I'm going back to work, because I miss my job at the bakery and all my friends and all the fun we have. Dr. Strauss says I should keep a notebook in my pocket for things I remember. And I don't have to do the progress reports every day, just when I think of something or something special happens. I told him nothing special ever happens to me, and it don't look like this special experiment is going to happen neither. He says, don't get discouraged, Charlie, because it takes a long time and it happens slow and you can't notice it right away. He explained how it took a long time with Algernon before he got 3 times smarter than he was before. That's why Algernon beats me all the time in that amaze race, because he had that operation too. He's a special mouse, the first animal to stay smart so long after the operation. I didn't know he was a special mouse. That makes it different. I could probably do that amazed faster than a regular mouse. Maybe someday I'll beat Algernon. Boy, would that be something. Dr. Strauss says that so far, Algernon looks like he might be smart permanent, and he says that's a good sign, because we both had the same kind of operation. March 21. We had a lot of fun at the bakery today. Joe Karp said, hey, look where Charlie had his operation. What did they do, Charlie? Put some brains in? I was gonna tell him about me getting smart, but I remembered Professor Niemer said no. Then Frank Riley said, what did you do, Charlie? Open a door the hard way? That made me laugh. They're my friends, and they really like me. There's a lot of work to catch up. They didn't have anyone to clean out the place, because that was my job, but they got a new boy, Ernie, to do the deliveries that I always done. Mr. Donner said he decided not to fire him for a while to give me a chance to rest up and not work so hard. I told him I was all right, and I can make my deliveries and clean up like I always done, but Mr. Donner says we will keep the boy. I said, so what am I going to do? And Mr. Donner patted me on the shoulder and says, Charlie, how old are you? I told him, 32 years, going on 33 my next birthday. And how long you been here, he said. I told him I didn't know. He said, you came here 17 years ago. Your Uncle Herman, God rest his soul, was my best friend. He brought you in here, and he asked me to let you work here and look after you as best I could. And when he died 2 years later, and your mother had you committed to the Warren home, I got them to release you on outside work placement. 17 years it's been, Charlie. And I want you to know that the bakery business is not so good. But like I always said, you got a job here for the rest of your life. So don't worry about me bringing in somebody to take your place. You'll never have to go back to that Warren home. I ain't worried. Only what does he need Ernie for to deliver and work around here, when I was always delivering the packages good? He says, the boy needs the money, Charlie. So I'm going to keep him on as an apprentice to learn him to be a baker. You can be his assistant and help him out on deliveries when he needs it. I never was a assistant before. Ernie is very smart, but the other people in the bakery don't like him so much. They're all my good friends, and we have lots of jokes and laughs here. Sometimes somebody will say, "Hey, look at Frank, or Joe, or even Gimpy. He really pulled a Charlie Gordon that time." I don't know why they say it, but they always laugh, and I laugh too. This morning, Gimpy, he's the head baker and he has a bad foot and he limps. He used my name when he shouted at Ernie because Ernie lost a birthday cake. He said, "Ernie, for God's sake, you trying to be a Charlie Gordon?" I don't know why he said that. I never lost any packages. I asked Mr. Donner if I could learn to be an apprentice baker like Ernie. I told him I could learn it if he gave me a chance. Mr. Donner looked at me for a long time funny, because I guess I don't talk so much most of the time. And Frank heard me, and he laughed and laughed until Mr. Donner told him to shut up and go tend to his oven. Then Mr. Donner said to me, "There's lots of time for that, Charlie. A baker's work is very important and very complicated, and you shouldn't worry about things like that." I wish I could tell him and all the other people about my real operation. I wish it would really work already, so I could get smart like everybody else. March 24. Professor Niemer and Dr. Strauss came to my room tonight to see why I don't come into the lab like I'm supposed to. I told them I don't want to race with Algernon no more. Professor Niemer said I don't have to for a while, but I should come in anyway. He brought me a present, only it wasn't a present, but just for Lend. He said it's a teaching machine that works like TV. It talks and makes pictures, and I gotta turn it on just before I go to sleep. I said, "You're kidding. Why should I turn on a TV before I go to sleep?" But Professor Niemer said if I want to get smart, I gotta do what he says. So I told him I didn't think I was going to get smart anyway. Then Dr. Strauss came over and put his hand on my shoulder and said, "Charlie, you don't know it yet, but you're getting smarter all the time. You won't notice it for a while, like you don't notice how the hour hand on a clock moves. That's the way it is with the changes in you. They're happening so slow you can't tell. But we can follow it from the tests and the way you act and talk and your progress reports." He said, "Charlie, you've got to have faith in us and in yourself. We can't be sure it will be permanent, but we are confident that soon you're going to be a very intelligent young man." I said, "Okay," and Professor Niemer showed me how to work the TV that really wasn't a TV. I asked him, what did it do? First, he looked sore again, because I asked him to explain me, and he said I should just do what he told me. But Dr. Strauss said he should explain it to me because I was beginning to question authority. I don't know what that means, but Professor Niemer looked like he was going to bite his lip off. Then he explained me, very slow, that the machine did lots of things to my mind. Some things it did just before I fall asleep, like teach me things when I'm very sleepy. And a little while after I start to fall asleep, I still hear the talk, even if I don't see the pictures anymore. Other things is, at night, it's supposed to make me have dreams and remember things that happened a long time ago, when I was a very little kid. It's scary. Oh, yes, I forgot. I asked Professor Niemer when I can go back to Miss Kinnean's class at the Adult Center, and he said soon Miss Kinnean will come to the College Testing Center to teach me special. I'm glad about that. I didn't see her so much since the operation, but she's nice. March 25. That crazy TV kept me up all night. How can I sleep with something yelling crazy things all night in my ears? And the nutty pictures, wow. I don't know what it says when I'm up, so how am I going to know what it says when I'm sleeping? I asked Bert about it, and he says it's okay. He says my brains are learning just before I got to sleep, and that will help me when Miss Kinnean starts my lessons at the testing center. The testing center isn't a hospital for animals like I thought before. It's a laboratory for science. I don't know what science is, except I'm helping it with this experiment. Anyway, I don't know about that TV. I think it's crazy. If you can get smart when you're going to sleep, why do people go to school? I don't think that thing will work. I used to watch The Late Show and The Late Late Show on TV all the time before I went to sleep, and it never made me smart. Maybe only certain movies make you smart. Maybe like quiz shows. March 26th. How am I going to work in the daytime if that thing keeps waking me up at night? In the middle of the night, I woke up, and I couldn't go back to sleep because it kept saying, "Remember, remember, remember." So I think I remembered something. I don't remember exactly, but it was about Miss Kinnean and the school where I learned about reading and how I went there. A long time ago, once I asked Joe Karp how he learned to read and if I could learn to read too. He laughed like he always done when I say something funny, and he says to me, "Charlie, why waste your time? They can't put any brains in where there ain't none." But Fanny Burden heard me, and she asked her cousin, who is a college student at Beekman, and she told me about the Adult Center for Retarded People at the Beekman College. She wrote the name down on a paper, and Frank laughed and said, "Don't go getting so educated that you won't talk to your old friends." I said, "Don't worry. I'll always keep my old friends, even if I can read and write." He was laughing, and Joe Karp was laughing, but Gimpy came in and told them to get back to making rolls. They're all good friends to me. After work, I walked over 6 blocks to the school, and I was scared. I was so happy I was going to learn to read that I bought a newspaper to take home with me and read after I learned. When I got there, it was a big, long hall with lots of people. I got scared of saying something wrong to somebody, so I started to go home. But I don't know why I turned around and went inside again. I waited until most everybody went away, except some people going over by a big time clock, like the one we have at the bakery. And I asked the lady if I could learn to read and write, because I wanted to read all the things in the newspaper, and I showed it to her. She was Miss Kinnean, but I didn't know it then. She said, "If you come back tomorrow and register, I'll start to teach you how to read. But you gotta understand, it will take a long time, maybe years, to learn to read." I told her I didn't know it took so long, but I wanted to learn anyway, because I made believe a lot of times. I mean, I pretend to people I know how to read, but it ain't true, and I wanted to learn. She shaked my hand and said, "Glad to meet you, Mr. Gordon. I will be your teacher. My name is Miss Kinnean." So that's where I went to learn, and that's how I met Miss Kinnean. Thinking and remembering is hard, and now I don't sleep so good anymore. That TV is too loud. March 27. Now that I'm starting to have those dreams and remembering, Professor Niemer says I gotta go to therapy sessions with Dr. Strauss. He says therapy sessions is like when you feel bad, you talk to make it better. I told him, "I don't feel bad, and I do plenty of talking all day, so why do I have to go to therapy?" But he got sore and says I gotta go anyway. What therapy is that I gotta lay down on a couch, and Dr. Strauss sits in a chair near me, and I talk about anything that comes into my head. For a long time, I didn't say nothing, because I couldn't think of nothing to say. Then I told him about the bakery and the things they do there. But it's silly for me to go to his office and lay down on the couch to talk, because I write it down in the progress reports anyway, and he could read it. So today, I brought the progress report with me, and I told him maybe he could just read it and I could take a nap on the couch. I was very tired because that TV kept me up all night, but he said, "Nope, it don't work that way. I got to talk." So I talked, but then I fell asleep on the couch anyway, right in the middle. March 28. I got a headache. It's not from that TV this time. Dr. Strauss showed me how to keep the TV turned low, so now I can sleep. I don't hear a thing, and I still don't understand what it says. A few times, I play it over in the morning to find out what I learned before I fell asleep and while I was sleeping, and I don't even know the words. Maybe it's another language or something. But most times it sounds American, but it talks too fast. I asked Dr. Strauss, what good is it to get smart in my sleep if I want to be smart when I'm awake? He says it's the same thing, and I have two minds. There's the subconscious and the conscious. That's how you spell it. And one don't tell the other what it's doing. They don't even talk to each other. That's why I dream. And boy, have I been having crazy dreams. Wow. Ever since that night TV. The late, 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 late movie show. I forgot to ask Dr. Strauss if it was only me or if everybody has two minds like that. I just looked up the word in the dictionary Dr. Strauss gave me. Subconscious, adjective, of the nature of mental operations, yet not present in consciousness, as subconscious conflict of desires. There's more, but I still don't know what it means. This isn't a very good dictionary for dumb people like me. Anyway, the headache is from the party. Joe Karp and Frank Riley invited me to go with them after work to Halloran's bar for some drinks. I don't like to drink whiskey, but they said we'll have lots of fun. I had a good time. We played games, with me doing a dance on the top of the bar with a lampshade on my head and everyone laughing. Then Joe Karp said I should show the girls how I mop out the toilet in the bakery, and he got me a mop. I showed them, and everyone laughed when I told them that Mr. Donner said I was the best janitor and errand boy he ever had, because I like my job and do it good, and never come late or miss a day, except for my operation. I said, Miss Kinnean always told me, Charlie, be proud of the work you do because you do your job good. Everybody laughed, and Frank said, that Miss Kinnean must be some cracked-up piece if she goes for Charlie. And Joe said, hey, Charlie, are you making out with her? I said I didn't know what that means. They gave me lots of drinks, and Joe said, Charlie is a card when he's potted. I think that means they like me. We have some good times, but I can't wait to be smart like my best friends, Joe Karp and Frank Riley. I don't remember how the party was over, but they asked me to go around the corner to see if it was raining, and when I came back, there was no one there. Maybe they went to find me. I looked for them all over till it was late, but I got lost. And I felt bad at myself for getting lost, because I bet Algernon could go up and down those streets 100 times and not get lost like I did. Then, I don't remember so good, but Mrs. Flynn says a nice policeman brought me back home. That same night, I dreamed about my mother and father, only I couldn't see her face. It was all white, and she was blurry. I was crying because we were in a big department store and I was lost and I couldn't find them. And I ran up and down the rows around all the big counters in the store. Then a man came and took me in a big room with benches and gave me a lollipop and told me a big boy like me shouldn't cry because my mother and father would come to find me. Anyway, that's the dream, and I got a headache and a big lump on my head and black and blue marks all over. Joe Karp says maybe I got rolled, or the cop let me have it. I don't think policemen do things like that. But anyway, I don't think I'll drink whiskey anymore. March 29. I beat Algernon. I didn't even know I beat him until Bert Selden told me. Then the second time I lost because I got so excited. But after that, I beat him 8 more times. I must be getting smart to beat a smart mouse like Algernon. but I don't feel smarter. I wanted to race some more, but Bert said that's enough for one day. He let me hold Algernon for a minute. Algernon is a nice mouse, soft like cotton. He blinks, and when he opens his eyes, they're black and pink on the edges. I asked, can I feed him? Because I felt bad to beat him, and I wanted to be nice and make friends. Bert said, no, Algernon is a very special mouse with an operation like mine. He was the first of all the animals to stay smart so long, and he said that Algernon is so smart he has to solve a problem with a lock that changes every time he goes in to eat, so he has to learn something new to get his food. That made me sad, because if he couldn't learn, he wouldn't be able to eat, and he'd be hungry. I don't think it's right to make you pass a test to eat. How would Bert like to have to pass a test every time he wants to eat? I think I'll be friends with Algernon. That reminds me. Dr. Strauss says I should write down all my dreams and the things I think, so when I come to his office I can tell them. I told him I don't know how to think yet, but he says he means more things like what I wrote about my mom and dad, and about when I started school at Miss Kinnean's, or anything that happened before the operation is thinking, and I wrote them in my progress report. I didn't know I was thinking and remembering. Maybe that means something is happening to me. I don't feel different, but I'm so excited I can't sleep. Dr. Strauss gave me some pink pills to make me sleep good. He says I gotta get lots of sleep, because that's when most of the changes happen in my brain. It must be true, because Uncle Herman used to sleep in our house all the time when he was out of work on the old sofa in the parlor. He was fat, and it was hard for him to get a job, because he used to paint people's houses, and he got very slow going up and down the ladder. When I once told my mom I wanted to be a painter like Uncle Herman, my sister Norma said, "Yeah, Charlie's going to be the artist of the family." And Dad slapped her face and told her not to be so goddamn nasty to her brother. I don't know what an artist is, but if Norma got slapped for saying it, I guess it's not a nice thing. I always feel bad when Norma got slapped for being mean to me. When I get smart, I'll go visit her. March 30. Tonight, after work, Miss Kinnean came to the teaching room near the laboratory. She looked glad to see me, but nervous. She looks younger than I remembered her. I told her I was trying very hard to be smart. She said, "I have confidence in you, Charlie, the way you struggled so much to read and write better than all the others. I know you can do it. At worst, you'll have it all for a little while, and you're doing something for other retarded people." We started to read a very hard book. I never read such a hard book before. It's called Robinson Crusoe, about a man who gets marooned on a desert island. He's smart and figures out all kinds of things so he can have a house and food, and he's a good swimmer. Only I feel sorry for him, because he's all alone and he has no friends. But I think there must be somebody else on the island, because there's a picture of him with his funny umbrella looking at footprints. I hope he gets a friend, and not be so lonely. March 31. Miss Kinnean teaches me how to spell better. She says, look at a word, and close your eyes, and say it over and over again until you remember. I have lots of trouble with through that you say through, and enough and tough that you don't say anew and two. You gotta say enough and tough. That's how I used to write it before I started to get smart. I'm mixed up, but Miss Kinnean says, don't worry, spelling is not supposed to make sense. Progress Report 9. April 1st. Everybody in the bakery came to see me today, where I started my new job, working by the dough mixer. It happened like this. Oliver, who works on the mixer, quit yesterday. I used to help him out before, bringing the bags of flour over for him to put in the mixer. Anyway, I didn't know that I knew how to work the mixer. It's very hard, and Oliver went to baker's school for 1 year before he could learn how to be an assistant baker. But Joe Karp, he's my friend, he said, "Charlie, why don't you take over Oliver's job?" Everybody on the floor came around and they were laughing, and Frank Riley said, "Yes, Charlie, you've been here long enough. Go ahead, Gimpy ain't around and he won't know you tried it." I was scared because Gimpy is the head baker, and he told me never to go near the mixer because I would get hurt. Everyone said, "Do it," except Fanny Burton, who said, "Stop it, why don't you leave the poor man alone?" Frank Riley said, "Shut up, Fanny, it's April Fool's Day, and if Charlie works on the mixer, he might fix it good, so we'll all have the day off." I said, "I couldn't fix the machine, but I could work it, because I've been watching Oliver ever since I got back." I worked the dough mixer, and everybody was surprised, especially Frank Riley. Fanny Burden got excited, because she said it took Oliver 2 years to learn how to mix the dough right, and he went to baker's school. Bernie Bate, who helps on the machine, said I did it faster than Oliver did, and better. Nobody laughed. When Gimpy came back and Fanny told him, he got sore at me for working on the mixer. But she said, "Watch him and see how he does it. They were playing him for an April Fool joke, and he fooled them instead." Gimpy watched, and I knew he was sore at me, because he don't like when people don't do what he tells them, just like Professor Niemer. But he saw how I worked the mixer, and he scratched his head and said, "I see it, but I don't believe it." Then he called Mr. Donner and told me to work it again so Mr. Donner could see it. I was scared he was going to be angry and holler at me. So after I was finished, I said, "Can I go back to my own job now? I gotta sweep out the front of the bakery behind the counter." Mr. Donner looked at me funny for a long time. Then he said, "This must be some kind of April Fool's joke you guys are playing on me. What's the catch?" Gimpy said, "That's what I thought. It was some kind of a gag." He limped all around the machine, and he said to Mr. Donner, "I don't understand it either, but Charlie knows how to handle it. And I gotta admit it, he does a better job than Oliver." Everybody was crowded around and talking about it, and I got scared, because they all looked at me funny and they were excited. Frank said, "I told you there's something peculiar lately about Charlie." And Joe Karp says, "Yeah, I know what you mean." Mr. Donner sent everybody back to work, and he took me out to the front of the store with him. He said, "Charlie, I don't know how you done it, but it looks like you finally learned something. I want you to be careful and do the best you can. You got yourself a new job with a $5 raise." I said, "I don't want a new job, because I like to clean up and sweep and deliver and do things for my friends." But Mr. Donner said, "Never mind your friends. I need you for this job. I don't think much of a man who don't want to advance." I said, "What's advance mean?" He scratched his head and looked at me over his glasses. "Never mind that, Charlie. From now on, you work the mixer. That's advance." So now, instead of delivering packages and washing out the toilets and dumping the garbage, I'm the new mixer. That's advance. Tomorrow I'll tell Miss Kinnean. I think she'll be happy, but I don't know why Frank and Joe are mad at me. I asked Fanny, and she said, "Never mind those fools. This is April Fool's Day, and the joke backfired and made them the fools instead of you." I asked Joe to tell me what was the joke that backfired, and he said, "Go jump in the lake." I guess they're mad at me because I worked the machine, but they didn't get the day off like they thought. Does that mean I'm getting smarter?
This ends Disc 1.